You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, hour number two, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3, 96.5 FM. WISS, of course, is Civic Media app. Mostly cloudy with showers and storms, high in the upper 70s today. We got a thing here from Todd. Todd, can you read that one?
Well, that's a nice Todd. This makes a lot of sense. I bet Todd is speaking for a lot of people.
Todd from DePere says, since this shipping thing is never going to happen, I'll throw my name in the hat. How's that birdhouse from 20 years ago coming along, John?
Yep.
Also, another one. Vinny says, I'd pay to watch Mino log roll.
There you go.
Michael Freeman says, Lisa from Simple Life will help JM, meaning Mino. Also, can she sell her quiche at Johnny Juice?
There you go.
Yes.
She does have good quiche.
And by the way, okay, my buddy, Knob.
Yeah.
He found, when he's cleaning out like his dad's place, a shoebox from Air Jordans. Like an original shoebox.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Read how much he got for that.
Wow. $1,500.
For a shoebox. I got shoeboxes like you can't believe.
So does Jim, but they've got $1,500 in each of them.
Yeah. from back when he was mayor.
we're talking earlier, this log rolling thing I really want to get
Katie
to.
Katie Burke.
We're just talking
Three Rivers Rodeo log rolling event coming up in Howard on July 12th.
We were just talking about side hustle money. That's how we got into this eBay, all that kind of. John's an author, so he's going to sell his books. And anyway, but this log rolling thing, there's a little buzz out there for this. You've been getting some exposure on it.
Yeah, we are very excited to be in Brown County for the first time and for our 17th annual Three Rivers Rodeo.
I did not know you were talking about where people could go to train for this. I didn't realize there were training centers in the Green Bay area.
Yeah, absolutely. People can give it a shot at the YMCAs if you look it up, or the Croc Center.
That's amazing.
So what is, I guess training is what, sense of balance? You don't get on the log. There's got to be other things you do before you get on the log. Like, what is training?
Well, training for the amateurs, you sign up at a YMCA, amateur meaning child or adult. Adults can absolutely learn. Don't worry, I dragged my boyfriend, now husband, into trying this. So any age can come out and try it. But it's getting on a log in a pool is the first type of training. Now, professionals are going to cross train. They're going to sprint. They're going to do strength training. They're going to do all your normal training that an athlete would. But the number one thing that they want to do is make sure they're on a log.
So, I can stop doing that? You guys getting ready for this thing?
I didn't know there were professional log rollers.
No?
Is there a professional circuit?
There is a professional circuit.
Wow.
There's a governing body, and we are just coming off the U.S. Log Rolling Open in Gladstone, Michigan, headed here. One more event on Sunday, and then the World Championships.
You weren't in Little Beatty Knock, were you up there?
No.
That's on Lake Michigan up there?
No, we're not.
Where were you? We're in Gladstone. They have a place for this.
Van Cleve Park.
Oh, sure.
In the harbor.
Oh, very cool.
When you train, do you train with someone right off the bat? Because I got to believe it's different if you train by yourself and then somebody else jumps on there.
Yeah, it's very different. So at the Y, I mean, most people are going to get in class and they want to get on the log with someone. But we'll spend, in a 45-minute class, we'll spend 35 minutes doing stuff by themselves. And then because they will all want to challenge another person, you want to be the last one standing, really. That's the goal of any of it. We'll let them start rolling against people very young.
Do they have real little cleats on the shoes?
So professionals do have spikes on their shoes.
Okay.
The amateurs in the Y, no, we don't put spikes in the pools.
Okay.
Do they wear shoes or can you go barefoot?
So amateurs in pools go barefoot and their logs are carpeted or synthetic. And
right.
So you'll go barefoot. You're not on the log for a long time when you're starting to learn. And so they'll go barefoot. As you progress and you're up there for a longer time, we'll add a tennis shoe. And then the pros go to the bare woods and wear spike shoes.
When the pros do the actual logs, I mean, it's like a log, right?
Yep. They are actual logs. Amateurs do too, but they're wrapped in carpet.
But okay. This is like outdoor carpeting or something. Or just carpet. Okay. The question was, can they bump each other?
No, there is a center line that runs.
Boy, that looks pretty close.
Yeah, they're pretty close, this one picture.
This picture you showed us is like
one arm can go just like that.
So there's incidental contact. So if you're both flailing your arm and you hit each other, that's called incidental. There's no intent behind it, and that's fine. If you reach across and push your competitor, the other person automatically wins that fall. You cannot intentionally push them off a log. It's a sparring match.
You would never argue incidental versus intentional.
So, okay, you're facing opposite directions, right?
It depends.
Okay. Yeah, explain that again.
Okay, so every roller, just like you have a right-handed person, right-footed person, left hand, every roller is going to pick a shoulder, right shoulder or left shoulder. So if I'm a right-shouldered roller rolling another right-shouldered roller to watch each other's feet, we face opposite directions. So one of us has to run backwards on this 14-inch to 12-inch diameter log, and the other person gets to go forward. And then you're battling back and forth to take control of that log. It's a little bit more strength match, and you're going to see that battle for control. And then if I'm a right-shouldered rolling a left-shouldered roller, then it's a running match. So you're going to run more across the body of water because you're both going to want to go forward. There'll be some back in there. So it just depends who you're matched up against in the bracket.
So if a right is going against the left, so it's going to be one forward, one backwards, how do you decide that? Do you flip a coin? Because wouldn't you rather run forward?
No, it's a battle of your feet. You got your feet. Your spikes are on that log, and so you're gonna fight to be the one to run forward or backwards. And sometimes
you'll be the smaller roller,
it's and like you'll just have to seed.
Yeah. Okay. People have you talk about a dominant hand, obviously, and dominant eye. Do people have a dominant foot? Do they have dominant feet?
They can. Yeah. Okay.
I think I do.
Like a kicker. I mean, a field goal kicker is going to have a dominant foot. They're not going to kick one field goal with their right and one with their left.
Good point. I didn't think of that. But now let me ask you this. In the professional game of this, you said the world championship is in Hayward.
Correct.
These, we used to call them lumberjack competitions, they've become really popular, haven't they?
Yeah, they still are.
Wow.
They're growing and spreading.
I remember when Wide World of Sports did a thing on them one time.
It was more than one time, and I competed in the very final Great Outdoor Games and then the Steel Timbers.
On Wide World of Sports?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was down in Florida running the boom.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
How long were you on the log? Like, is it seconds? Is it a minute?
So the rolling can be anywhere from a 20-second match to 20 minutes.
No way.
Yeah. So
is there a time? It's like, come on, like a baseball game? Is there scoring?
Yeah, there's scoring. So it's bracket-style tournament, double elimination, and so a match is best of five. So you have to beat the other competitor three times in order to win. So if that happens, boom, 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 match over in an early round. Later rounds, when you're getting the semifinals and finals, and even the early rounds can run longer. And there's also log sizes. So the men will start on 15-inch in diameter, and every time you hit a time limit, so men is 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, they move down to 1 inch in diameter. So now the log spins faster, so you get more action. So there is also the...
Oh, that's cool.
What makes it spin faster?
Well, the diameter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You drop the diameter and it'll spin faster.
Ah.
So I just want to talk about the length of this. So you said they can be for 20 minutes, but eventually they just call a truce and then...
No, they never call a truce. They just wait for someone to get exhausted and fall in the water.
Really? I bet it would get exhausting.
Are you kidding? That's like jump rope. Yeah, that's got to be...
I mean, it's like a mini sprint on and off.
Right.
I mean, you have to have cardio. How do you train for something like this if you're not in the water?
So cross training, strength training in the gym, lifting. Other people will train cardio, bike, run, swim. But again, time on log is very important.
Wow, this is cool. And you got it coming up, the 17th annual Three Rivers Rolio, heading to an exciting new venture. Thrilled to be partnered with the Village of Howard for an action-packed weekend, Friday, July 11th. Amateur starting at 4 o'clock. So can people just come there and say, hey, I want to give this a shot?
They cannot. They have to be registered in advance.
Okay.
To pre-register, is there more to it than that? I mean, do they take a little bit of a physical or something?
No, they don't. The amateurs, members of the United States.
Turn your head and cough.
All right, I'm just saying that. I mean, come on. What if the guy can't even get on a log, you know?
Well, they have to be members of the United States Log Rolling Association, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's pretty good prerequisite. Okay.
Well, you have to know where to register.
Okay. All right.
So we're dumb.
We're dumb. We're not very smart.
She's like, I knew that a long piece, way, well into this interview.
Todd, would you prep these guys, for God's sakes?
Okay.
So then professionals start at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're coming down, there's food trucks, coffee vendors. So, like, feel free to grab a coffee. And if you want to come for the lunch hour, there's beer and food on site.
And people can just sit in the lawn chairs and watch.
And yeah. It's free.
Yeah, free to the public.
That's awesome.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
How did you get into this? How did you get started?
So I started at the local YMCA.
In Onalaska?
The Onalaska area, the La Crosse Y. And my brother saw it, wanted to try, and I was 20 months younger. So then after he started, I wanted to do it at the age of six.
But at age of six, you started this. Wow. So then you were talking before the show or before the segment, you played other sports. How did this help you in other sports?
Log rolling gives you a great sense of balance and quick feet. Like, so any sport that you need quickness, I mean, you're on a small diameter log, keeping your balance. So all cardiovascular strength, quickness, are all gained from log rolling.
You know, it's funny. We interviewed a kid that is top scorer in football, 400 some yards his last game, 5 touchdowns, and and we asked him what his biggest strength was, and he said balance.
Yeah.
He just, I don't know if he did log rolling. I wish we'll have him back on our show, but he just said, you know, I just have been gifted with it, or not gifted. He works really hard at it, but he goes, it's balance. And yeah, that's a key thing to have in any sport. But
yeah, such an important skill.
Especially this one.
But okay, tell me again, though. You said, and I didn't realize this, I mean, because I'm a member of the Croc Center and
he is. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's there.
But the question is, how many times have you gone?
Really, Todd?
Todd's on my, okay.
If I'd known there was log rolling, I would have gotten a lot more. Right.
He would have gone twice.
Right.
Excuse them. For they know not what they speak.
But they teach this at the Croc Center.
I didn't know this. This is awesome.
He's going to be going every day now, I'm sure. Yeah.
Perfect. That's great. It's as easy as falling off a log and then going for a little swim.
Okay, I don't mean to sound creepy.
Okay, let's the latter part. You want to address that at all?
I don't mean to sound creepy. Do you want to see my calves? No, I'm serious. They're unbelievable.
Let's go back to the first part.
Okay. You want to touch it right there?
Right on your calf?
Yeah.
Don't. Look, we got 3 pending lawsuits.
It's
just stay away. Don't.
I think because of my calves, I'd be really good at this.
How's your balance in your core?
Phenomenal.
Your core is phenomenal?
My what? Core?
See, look at her. Look at her. Just like that lady that looked at you. When you said I'm 210, that one looked at you. Yeah, you weigh a little more. How deep is the water? Do you have to swim or is it like at 3 feet of water? What are you guys log rolling?
It all depends because we're going to start.
I mean, it's never over your head, is it?
Absolutely.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out.
You know how to swim.
Wow.
So is.
We need a minimum depth for safety so people can fall and splash in the water. But any depth is, I mean, deep is good. You're not going to hit the bottom, land, and twist an ankle.
Let me ask though. Do you have to learn how to. Do you have to know how to swim before you log roll?
I mean, you can wear a life jacket if you want. My daughter does.
I would wear a life jacket.
He would.
I'd wear one of those big Coast Guard ones.
Okay.
Wow, this is exciting. This is great.
What age do you start at? What are your brackets? Is it? It's got to be age. Is it my age? You tell me.
So the professional is any age. You can turn professional. You declare and you can go professional. We have people as young as 16 in the pros. Then the amateur side, there are age divisions. So there's 7 and under, and then and that's co-ed, and then. 8 to 10 boys, 8 to 10 girls, 11 to 13 boys and girls, and then 14 to 17 boys and girls. And then there's an adult sport for anyone who wants to get involved as an adult.
At the competition, is it just one going on at a time, or is there like a bunch of them going on? Or?
So the pros will start on 2 docks. So you have
okay, we're gonna keep you around for another few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to send a quick break. This is exciting stuff. Katie Burke, Three Rivers Rollio log rolling event in Howard coming up this weekend. Is this going to be televised, you know?
This one is not.
Okay. But I've seen it televised.
It has been for 5 years.
I mean, it's big time.
But, yeah.
That's cool. All right. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
back. We're with Katie Burke from the Three Rivers Rodeo Log Rolling Event in Howard coming up this weekend. On the on-deck circle, Joe Vertigan and Scott Hansen, legendary area racer. And Mark Hewson chiming in. I got a great name for your new next segment. It'll be called Name John's New Injury. Name Skinny John's answer. New Ankle. Injury.
Yeah, we really can't go that long in a segment because we have to have breaks put in. So we got to talk to the producer about that. Hey, but
this is exciting stuff, Kate. I would love to come out and watch you guys do this.
That's what I said, Kate. This is different, and yeah. I think people want to get outside, and this is obviously outside. Yeah. This isn't indoors. It's outside, and, you know, the weather's going to be great this weekend, and it's something different. I think in the food trucks, it's just going to be a fun thing to do for, I don't know, a couple hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're going to head out there. We got something else going on, but I'm going to get out
there.
I hope
you can make it.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Now, when you were, okay, we got a thing here. Do you have to be good to declare pro, or can just be a pro and suck?
You can be a pro and suck. You'll go out twice in a row in the tournament.
Real quick. Yeah. How competitive, because I mean, this is this far away from each other, basically looking at each other's feet or whatever. I mean, this has to get kind of personal almost, doesn't it?
It does. And when you have a circuit, I mean, we're together all summer, weekend after weekend, competing against each other. It's a close-knit family, but I would say it's also like siblings where you're going to butt the second you get on that log, it's go time.
Isn't the trick, I've never done it, but the trick to like the start, like really just jackrabbit start and throw them off?
So the second the whistle blows, you're going to pull off the dock. So you got to get a safe distance away from the dock. You step on a log, pull off, and now you're out in open water, as the picture you can see. But as soon as the judge is going to call time in, so you have to be both balancing and get a steady start, and the judge blows a whistle. Now, it is legal, if you're both timed in, the split second that goes off, to kick the log. Rarely is this successful, but every once in a while it is. There's a couple people who pull it off really well.
Just to knock their balance off, like?
Instead of just, you know, gradually faster and faster, just...
Wow.
Or go the other way. Like, say, I'll go forward, you go backwards, and then just trick them.
Yeah, you can. That's called the give and go. You're going to fake them like you're going to go one way, and then you go back the other way, give and go.
I like it. I like this a lot. Once again, this is at the Quarry in Howard this coming weekend. And free admission, which is great.
That's cool.
That's
food trucks.
So cool.
Food trucks, a little live acoustic music.
I'm assuming they should bring their own lawn chairs.
We'll have some bleachers.
Oh, you have bleacher seating out there.
But,
okay.
But you're welcome to bring a lawn chair if you want to be a little more comfortable and or a blanket.
What would be considered like the hotbed, the Haywood area for these kind of things when you go to, where the most attendance?
The most attendance is probably Haywood. But the Midwest is a big log rolling bed. I mean, people from Haywood will go up to Squamish and British Columbia and compete. And there will be some international competitors.
When you find a place to go, is this ever called because of Whitecaps or something? Or tell me about like the environment, how you say this is where we're going to go. How do you pick a spot? Like, the Quarry's awesome because that's super calm there.
Yeah.
Like, would you do it on the Fox River here in front of the city deck?
I think that would be a little too hard with the wake for competition.
Me too.
Well, last night I tried to train on the Fox River where I am, and it got a little wavy for a bit. So typically you try to find a calm body of water, a quarry, a lake, a lagoon. In Gladstone, we're in the heart, like wrap around the harbor in this little lagoon area off of Lake Michigan. But like Lake Michigan or the middle of the Fox River where you have large amounts of boat traffic, it's not ideal. Okay. Lakes are, again, wraparounds from larger bodies of water are great.
Cool thing for a small community deal, because everybody's looking to get people to come and food trucks and have events, and you know, you can make a little bit of money on beverages. I think of a place even like Elkhart Lake. That's a very quiet body of water on Sundays, right?
And
I think this is going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to coming.
I hope so. There's a lot of action. Like I said, we're in a bracket double elimination. We have multiple world champions coming in to compete this weekend. We have all five of the top men's ranked rollers in the country coming in. Four-time world champion Shauna Verstegen's coming in.
Wow.
And up-and-coming rookie who's podiumed every tournament this season, but yet to actually win one, Aini Anderson.
Okay, I got to say one thing. Okay,
have anyone ever bet on something?
I'm going to bet on this. I'm going to bet on something.
I don't think you can do that.
Well, listen, no. When you talk about international competition of world champions, I'm going to make up a wager that the top log rollers are from Sweden.
I would say no.
No?
The U.S.
Really?
Are they from the U.S.?
Oh, I would have thought like these big Danes type of guys, like Sven Ortgensen.
No, I think
Sven Hjern is their six-time world champion.
I would say some little guy with a
Really?
Unbelievable sense of balance. Like
Jim
I would have thought.
Barbara Mayer and
no,
just
some guy.
Well, this takes away some of the mystique. I wanted to see the big Sven guys. No? And Olga, his wife Olga, they tag team. No?
Maybe a little more on the chopping side than Hayward.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Right. Okay. Do they still have all those competitions?
Absolutely.
Oh, those are something else, aren't they?
They are.
You ever see that with the chopping things? Those guys go through those logs like nothing.
They do, but I'll stick to the water in the summer.
Yeah,
it's a lot more refreshing.
Tell me about the lessons that people can take on this. And do you teach the lessons?
I have taught lessons at both the CROC and the YMCA. Currently teaching a little bit on and off at the YMCA. And so...
Here in Green Bay?
Here in Green Bay, yeah.
Awesome.
I try to teach instructors more so that we have a greater reach as opposed to me showing up for all the classes. But at the Y, you can look on their schedules and see when you can take lessons. The Y should be offering them again in the fall. I think they took a little break this summer. But you sign up for a lesson and you'll go to the Y, go into the pool area. They'll hold the log. So to start, they'll hold the log. We'll talk you through how... I get three core things of learning: quick feet, balance, eyes on the other end. So never stop moving your feet. Keep your arms out like you're on a balance beam, but in front and behind, and then move your feet.
I bet you some gymnastic people are like really, really good at this.
I'm really liking this polka music.
You know what I can see me doing though? You know what I can see me doing at the CROC if I come out there for a lesson? Like slip it off of my face hitting the log.
That is so unlikely because gravity is going to take you for a swim, and you have to be good with that core to stay over the log.
So I'm working on my core.
That is why he's
going to
hit the log.
Why do you keep bringing up my core, Katie?
Because it is a core part of log.
Yeah, enough from you, Katie.
Katie Burns,
Three Rivers, rolling a log run event in Howard this weekend, July 12th. Thanks so much. This is great.
It's going to be fun.
Thanks for having me.
Love to watch you. Back in us.
From local stories to local voices, we're shining a spotlight on what matters right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's more than just talk. It's about connecting with the community. This is Mino and the Mayor. Now, here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. That was so much fun having Katie Burke here at the Three Rivers Rolio Log Rolling Event in Howard coming up this weekend. Todd, great job lighting that up. Joe Vertigan here actually says he's going to try to compete out there. He said he's done every other athletic event there is.
When pigs fly.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Vertigan and Scott Hansen. Scott Hansen, when I just say that name, man, I just think about the days back at WIR and coming down there on those Thursday nights or whatever
Good times.
Great times, man. The red, white, and blue series and all the different things. And, man, you were a competitor. Five-time WIR champ. And people, if you're not from this, or maybe people from this, let me put it this way, people from this area who haven't seen racing in other areas might not understand the competitiveness and the quality of the drivers and the cars that take to the track at WIR.
Oh, I'm telling you, there were so many champions and stuff, Kowicki and Watson and Trickles, and lots of good guys came through that racetrack.
And that's the thing, you know, everything was the South, the South, the South, and sometimes these guys from the South would come up and they'd be like, holy crap, these Northern boys know how to ride.
Oh, yeah. Mark Martin, who did the foreword for the WIR book, he's, you know, he says WIR is genuinely one of his favorite tracks he's ever seen. And with Scott, he was one of the first Green Bay champion from there. There've been two others, Mark Schrader in 96 and Chad Butts last year, who's actually from Howard, but Scott won five in a row. And sometimes that didn't sit real well with the Dutch Mafia. Okay. He didn't have that Fox Valley zip code, Scott. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I hear you there. Michigan people didn't enjoy.
Well, the thing is, though, it was one of those things, though, too, where it was like, even like, what's his name? Kenseth.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Has told me that he had some animosity when he started winning down there as well.
It
was a tough racetrack to win at, you know, like I said, because of the people that came in there, you know. I mean, everybody back then had the same equipment, good equipment, you know, so you just had to hustle your way through whatever it took.
Yeah.
Scott, we're talking about racing and it was a big deal when I was in high school. I mean, everybody went. And
he was the regular at 141.
Right.
Okay.
We lived in Manitowoc, Two Rivers. And then I think it maybe took a little bit of a lull, or maybe just there's just a lot more to do today than there was 30, 40 years ago.
Joe and I were just talking. We don't understand why it's dropping off. Right. There's a lot of streaming and stuff going on. A lot of people sitting home watching it in the garage nowadays.
Oh.
Maybe a lot of us are just getting older and you know, the car guys are going away.
But it's exciting. All I'm saying is what would it take to get people back to that? Because I think it is more competitive. There's more outdoor concerts. We're just, this log rolling thing is, there's just a lot to do on a Saturday night, Wednesday night in this community. I think there's more than there was years ago. But I mean, does it take somebody like you, a 5-time champion? Was it more the race or was it more you that they came out to see?
I'd like to think it was me.
I think it was you, but also your rivals. There were like hardcore rivalries back then.
You know, what we did back when we raced is we not only raced hard, we sat with the fans for hours and hours and hours and invested time with them. You know, that was as much as the race ever was. People came out of the grandstands. We sat there, I mean, many times till the sun came up. And
he had a great sponsor in Budweiser, too. Really good one. Tell us, Scott, that's a great story in itself, Scott. How he got the Budweiser sponsorship. That's a story.
Well, they called me. You know, they wanted to go with Terry Baldry. And
it's another legendary name.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. They went right down the line. They took the guy who won the championship. Was Baldry. It was my first year down there. I run second. And the Baldry family, I don't know if they even drank.
No.
They got a Pepsi deal.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to go with the Pepsi. And I don't think they had a clue what they passed up on. Yeah. Because, boy, Jimmy Dean and the Budweiser guys.
Dean boys.
They invested a lot in me, and we had such a good time.
Well, you paid off for them, because I'll tell you what, that Budweiser car was on TV and in the papers an awful lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did pretty well, too, so.
Yeah.
Those are great guys.
I go back to Russ Dean, the matriarch.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, though, too, back in your days, that was such an event. That was such a local event, was to come out to the track.
Right.
I swear almost everywhere. Well, Joe, when you were my intern, we did a live shot every week from there, didn't
we? Yeah, it was a big deal. And like I said, there was no internet back then. Nobody had cell phones. You had to be there. There was no online streaming of races. And back to this Budweiser thing, half of that was actually Anheuser-Busch, right, Scott?
Yep, right from the
My college dorm when I moved in the fall of 87, it was Bud Light this, Bud's McKenzie that. I mean, they were very generous. Yeah. It was a great sponsorship, put it that way.
I had to be the DD of Spuds McKenzie one Halloween or something.
I remember him being in your pit one time, the actual dog. So
what was it like when you went to NASCAR, the bigger time, I guess you want to call it, but what was that like with those people?
Different. You know, it's politically correct. I was not. You know, my mouth got me in too much trouble, and I enjoyed, like I just told you, I enjoyed when you were done racing, you had fun with the people and this and that, and you had to watch so much of your P's and Q's, and I just didn't, I'm sorry to say, but I didn't fit in.
A little more corporate?
A lot more corporate, and I guess if I'd have shut up, I might have been a little higher up the ladder, but.
I think every kid, though, likes racing, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
I would like to think that. And so what would your advice be to get into it? Because I think that's... I think it's
still really cool.
It's very cool.
Find a rich grandpa is the only way today.
Is that a deterrent right now?
If you don't have money, Joe and I were just talking, you go through the truck and the Xfinity series, there aren't a half a dozen guys getting actual paid. They bring the money into that deal, and they got to siphon their money out of the sponsorship they bring in is how they're making their money to do this. And
wow.
Yeah, it's gotten so money oriented.
So before Scott went to NASCAR, he had the luxury in the late 80s, early 90s, he made a living racing short track cars. Yeah. Like what race? Through the ASA series, Artco, which he was rookie of the year. He was a 5-time winner at the Milwaukee Mile as well.
Which is pretty amazing.
It is. Yeah. I mean, but guys could make a living running short tracks before he hitched up with Kenny Schrader and did the NASCAR thing. You can't make a living running short tracks anymore. The costs have gotten so high and the pay has not matched it. It's just not feasible anymore.
I thought I was doing good in Wisconsin racing for Jerry Gunderman and Donnie Fanetti and the Baker guys. Until I went to work for Kenny Schrader, who ran NASCAR for... Yeah. 25
legendary
years
name in Rent NASCAR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's when I started making money. I had no clue that those guys were getting what they were getting. And Kenny put me on a whole different level. And that's what made me in as far as making it, that's where.
Let me correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. Didn't you say he was paid with 150 cases of beer one time?
Oh, it was more than that, wasn't it? How much beer did you get from them? That was part of the sponsorship deal, wasn't it?
We got a pallet a week. Yeah, and went through it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it was fun. Oh, yeah.
But the competitiveness, is it still there in these tracks? Is it because the thing is, and I know there was like, you know, the different factions down there. Like, I remember when I first came to Green Bay, I think it was J.J. Smits was one of the big guys.
Hero. J.J. was my hero. When I started out on dirt track.
Okay.
And I watched J.J. and Jerry Smith of Medina and Roger Paul, Roger Regas. Those guys, those were racers. You know, they sat in there and they just bowled their way around there. And you know, today it's, you know, luxury riding around.
Well, that's what I mean. They used to say, but they're just, you know, race the doors off with each other. But then they'd sit around the pits and talk. If somebody needed to borrow a crescent wrench or a socket or something, they would give it to them. But on the track, there was no, you know.
No, it was wide open competitiveness. Yes. And like you said, if you slipped and somebody made a mistake, got into each other, somebody got wrecked, you got out, you said, okay, don't do that or watch how you do this. And they jumped right in and helped you fix what you were doing.
I got to hear one Dick Trickle story. Did he really have a cigarette lighter in his car?
Oh, he had a cigarette lighter. He had packs of cigarettes packed in this way. Wow. He was a one of a kind that you'll never see again ever in any racing eras.
Tell him the story about when you decided it was around 83 or 82, Scott ditched the dirt and went pavement full time. And Dick Trickle kind of helped you out. Tell him that story.
I called him up one day and I said, hey, what are the chances you'd let me come over and talk me through some of the setups, this and that? And he's like, here's my address. See you there on Tuesday. Wow. I got a 12-pack of Pabst, drove over there. And he had a setup book that was dang near a foot thick on his bench. And we started drinking. I said, okay, I'd like to know about this racetrack. He says, there's the book. Send your kid over there, paper and pencil, and write down anything you want to know out of that book.
Wow.
And that escalated my career so fast overnight. Here it is, the shocks, the springs, the tires, the everything, you know, where it takes years to learn that.
Pretty confident guy, but pretty generous, right? To just share that with you. He must have saw something in you as well.
Well, that, and he would rather keep you straight on the racetrack than you out there flipping, flopping, and wrecking and stuff
that. Right.
You know, it took me a long time. This is a quick story with Trickle. He was the man. So he came in. He never hot lapped. He was quick time. So finally, one day, we had it right. We go there. I got quick time. He was second. I won the dash. He was second. I won the 25-lap feature. He was second. We went to the bar afterwards. He come up to me and says, man, I got to give you so much more credit than, he says, you've come a long ways. He says, but not only that, you can really drive. And I'm like, well, thanks. You know, he says, I have not seen anybody drive a car that out of control. And he worked on me. I went home. I changed everything in that car, stayed up till 4 a.m. Come back to the race the next day, the big race, 30 laps. I think he was lapping me because he talked me. Right. He was so smart. Yeah. He talked me right out of everything I had done, but he didn't just lap me. He pulled up alongside me. I think we ran side by side for 2 or 3 laps until I looked over and he gave me the old,
no kidding.
See you later.
That's unbelievable. That's phenomenal.
It was crazy, but he was good. He was good at everything he did.
Yes. Well, you said the changes, one of the biggest changes was the cost. Why the costs are so high now versus 30 years ago? Is it the equipment? Is it
it's the equipment, and we don't, none of us understand why. You know, we built a car for
$30,000.
Now, I just told Joe, a new Fury car is $125,000.
A Fury car is like the super late model that Chad Butts races on Thursday nights, for example.
Okay.
That's not cheap to race for weekly. I mean, that's very, very costly.
And I don't know what the pay is to win nowadays, but
it didn't probably keep 1,000. Pace. All right, so it didn't keep pace with that. Okay, I got
close.
It.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 400 to win when I would win. They might get 1,000 now.
And yet the car went from 30 to 120.
Yeah.
And
they're the same basic part.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
hub is a hub, a wheel is a wheel.
Yeah. Was there anything different? And obviously, everybody's got different skills, different skill levels of whatever. Before we go to a break here, but when you would race some of those other guys, even like when Bobby Allison came to the track and some of these, Mark Martin, these different guys, when they came there, was there anything different where you said, okay, that separates him from us?
Well, they did it every day. They did it every day, every day, every day. And then they ran 400 or 500 mile right. races. So they just got a feel. They got a look. They got the this and that. Was anything different? No, it was just their amount of time in the vehicle, I think.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that's like that with all sports, like a golfer or something. Same thing. You know, some guy that grows up in Arizona or Florida versus Wisconsin who wants to be a golfer.
Oh, yeah. You know, we learned so much, you know, from going down south. If I wasn't racing, Carl Wagner was a huge mentor of mine. He would send us down south, you know, with engines and stuff for these guys.
Carl was a noted engine builder in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And the year they came out with the restrictor plates, Bobby Allison won the 500 because of something they had done where they tapered the gasket on the restrictor plate. Well, we did restrictor plates. We did the same thing. We won 13 out of 16 races up here. Wow. So, you learned.
Yeah, you do. I heard Joe's dad did something illegal one time with your tires. Is that true? We got to set our quick break. Yeah. Legendary break. Scott Hansen and Joe Verne get in the house. Back up.
With a four-barrel carb and a dual exhaust with 411 gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. Knew I could catch him, I thought I could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. We've got a couple of great guests. Joe Vertigan and Scott Hansen. Scott, legendary racer. And Joe, of course, a legendary author of racing and legendary announcer. And how many, what do you got, 5 gigs this week or something, Joe?
Announcing 3 nights and 5 days. Tonight, got to go back home and do Eagle River if it doesn't rain. And then Seymour Friday and 141 Speedway Saturday.
So, good for you, man. Got a question here from Todd DePere. Hey, Scott, how prevalent is knowingly cheating in NASCAR and racing?
It takes place, and don't think it doesn't. You know, they've gotten so smart. You know, if they cheat, they do 5 things to give the officials something to catch so that they don't look at the ones that really matter. But it happens, trust me.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so much money involved now, though, huh? Isn't that mind-boggling?
Oh, God.
A cup deal today is just, I think it's one big reason Stewart got out of it, because they said this car was going to be the fix-all for the owners and everything, and it turned out to be just the opposite of what they cost.
No.
Well, it's one of those things, though, too. It's like, you know, every couple of years, okay, Chevy's got this something, Ford's got this something, Toyota got this something. It's like there's such competitiveness amongst the engineering of these cars now, isn't it?
Tenths of a second is what they're looking. Yeah. They're not looking for
unbelievable.
This and that. Tenths of a second. There's more engineers in a pit crew than there are workers for the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go to a race, a NASCAR race. I was just in Phoenix here last fall. There's a table, got to be 8 engineers, all on computers, all looking at different parts of the car, different things. If you're an engineer, you can make it NASCAR work.
Well, even, you know, that's the thing. We've got the one kid from the UP that was made big time for Junior's car, didn't he?
Oh, Greg Ives. Yes.
And I mean, you know, normally, or back in the day, it'd be, oh, this guy is a grease monkey and he's, you know, good with cars. You know, he's Michigan Tech mechanical engineering degrees. Oh, yeah. And even I was watching a Chicago race the other day and one of the cars stalled out and they were trying to pull out the computer from the car to bring it into the shop and they just plug it in now for the whole thing.
Yeah. So, Scott, with that said, though, with the 8 engineers and this team of mechanics, like, where does the driver come in?
Like, well,
you're flying a spaceship. I mean, you've got an unbelievably piece of equipment that you're in control of.
They all sit in these simulators nowadays, and that's how they learn to
race.
That's
how you train that. Wow.
I mean, that simulator time is so key.
Well, years ago, Dick Trickle just raced. Did you ever see Dick Trickle never practice? He would just race,
William Byron, who was as good as they come in the NASCAR world, I don't think he did all of his video racing and stuff. That's how he got his ride. Is
unreal.
Is through the video games.
I know. Yeah,
we were just talking about this morning about the video games. How it's just
it's just a different way of learning, right? I mean,
it is, you know. And the cars are, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Right.
When these kids come in,
yeah,
you know, they sit in these simulators, and like I said, these engineers, they set that car up. You get the exact feeling sitting in that simulator as you do on the race. They got the cracks in the racetrack on these simulators. Yeah. They got the bumps. Yeah. They've got everything down to the thousands.
When didn't you have that when you started?
I couldn't say simulator.
In 75? They didn't have simulators.
What year did you start, Scott? 1975, did you say?
About that, yeah.
About that time, huh? In Deep Pier?
Deep Pier, Wisconsin. Yeah. Did 6 or 7 years of dirt track, off and on, nothing full time. Couldn't afford it.
You have to have a job.
Yeah.
Right?
His break actually came meeting a guy at a car wash by the name of Steve Marler, and tell him that story.
Yeah, every Sunday morning we'd go wash the car up here on Fisk and Mason Street. And one Sunday morning, Steve Marler, owned an insurance company, come walking in. He says, "What's it going to take for you to stay out of this car wash?" He said, "This is my time away to come in and wash my Mercedes every Sunday."
Yeah.
And the kid with me says, "Just buy us an asphalt car." And he says, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Richie Waters."
Oh, sure.
You know, good as they come.
Big name. Chief. Yeah.
Buy us an asphalt car. Steve sat there for about 10 seconds. He says, "My office is right next door. Be there at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning." We were there at 8:55.
You got to be kidding me. Wow. And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
That's unbelievable.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. Right place, right time.
Oh, yeah. So with all those years, all those races, all those awards, she'd been asked this a million times, but you got a favorite?
My Milwaukee races and my Phoenix races are the probably the most prestigious ones, and you know the who of who's who were always at those.
Yeah,
you know, so it was fun to go out there and beat the best. You know, I didn't race against 20 of the same guys. You know, we chased money races, so back in the day there was 40, 50 guys at every race. And we went coast to coast, border to border. And
I know you were too busy to notice this, but when I worked in Arizona, I used to cover the races at PIR, Phoenix International Raceway. I just want to say, on those really hot days, the scenery was really nice.
You think? Why do you think I bought a house out there?
Like I said, you were too Charles busy Carole. To notice, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Charles Carole of racing.
Scott Hansen, thank you so very much, man. It is an honor to have you here. Yeah. I enjoyed covering you for all those years, and it's great to sit here and
thanks
talk.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for what you did for that whole industry, right? Because we talk about how, you know, it's every industry has ebb and flows, but I mean, you were part of the flow on that.
I had a blast doing it, and just can't wait to get back and just keep watching these guys evolve and what they're doing today.
Yeah. Okay, one last thing about PIR. On some of those races, they'd have the Sunday at Phoenix International Raceway, a thunderly pouting thing. Ladies in halter tops, get in half price. True story. Scott Hansen, thanks so much for being here, buddy.
Anytime, boys.
Yeah, Joe, always, you've been bringing us such great guests. Please keep it going.
Yeah. I'll work on Jerry Munster next.
Thank you. Tell everybody about your books.
Oh, well, joevertigan.com. Got a lot of racing books, True Crime, The Reformatory, and we got the Monfile 6 book coming out in December. Stay tuned.
How's that coming along, Joe? You don't have to give details, but
it's coming along
something.
Well. In fact, from here, I'm going to have lunch with a couple of people that worked at the mill. We're going to do some interviews for the book, but it's coming very quick. We're setting up a book signing tour in December at a lot of locations in and around Green Bay. So
great. I want this show to be your first interview before it comes out.
You got it.
Tell Pi I said hello.
Thanks, I will.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to set a quick break. Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.